In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the dear Christians in Philippi, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're meditating on those verses, Philippians 4, 4 to 13. You heard those read before. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord. In you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, our joy. Dear fellow Christians, crossed over from death to life. In our day and age, we don't have much personal contact with bridges anymore. They build them so well into the freeway system, you barely know whether you're going over an overpass, a railroad tracks, or a river. You just go. All that changed August 1st, 2007, during rush hour, when the third busiest bridge in the state of Minnesota, leading right into the city of Minneapolis, failed, broke, fell into the water. 13 people died, 45 injured. 145? I forget the numbers. I'm not an engineer. But the engineers had some questions to answer. They had been taking pictures of that bridge for quite some time. If you saw the pictures, you can find them. It's bridge number 4340 or 6340 or whatever. They have a number for it. And engineers who can't remember numbers, people die. When pastors forget numbers, we just ask the layman to help fill in the numbers. But this was awful. They had been taking pictures, and they've got them where the gussets are starting to bow out. Those are the steel plates that the bolts go through. And they had called for them to be an inch or something like that. They ended up half an inch, all that arguing that had gone on back in the 60s, and the bridge was built and it was failing, and it was scheduled to be replaced a few years later. In the meantime, they kept putting more and more pavement on the top of it, and they had one side closed off. It was all with extra heavy equipment and all sorts of repair materials, sand and gravel piled on top of it, yet tons of stuff. And it went down. All the finger pointing, the lawsuits, none of that can bring back the lost loved ones. Nothing can turn it back for a do-over. Bridges fail. So for years, they've been working on the design of the bridge just south of Stillwater, across the St. Croix River, wanting to try to keep that beautiful valley pristine. How do we build a bridge that isn't going to detract from that, and yet, you know, a lot more cars will have to go over that? After all these years, they used extra dosed, they said you can say it both ways, extra dosed bridge. So it's not like the first bridge into Minneapolis that I mentioned. There was no redundancy there. Everything was underneath, and when underneath failed, the bridge went down. The extra dosed bridge is the underneath support and the towers and the cables. And you can read all about this and see the beautiful pictures online. Really fascinating. What you cannot find in any bridge built by human engineers is safety for your soul. People try to build bridges for the heart on the shifting sands of their own feelings. And relationships keep tearing apart. There's no steel known to man that can hold those together. And there's absolutely no human design that will bridge the gap of sin and failure between us and God. In Romans 3, the Holy Spirit says it through Paul there, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Religious athletes could get back and take a run at it and try to get over to God. They're still going to be just as dead when they fall short as the drunk or the addict or the harsh husband who falls over and just dies. We can't bridge that gap. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now there's the bridge. There's the bridge for your soul. We want to look at that today and see how the Lord takes us crossing to the joy of Christ. And here first, from anxiety to peace. Growing up in summer times, Lutheran Bible camp, there was a little river there. We had to get across that river. Now, if I tell you that the girls' cabins were on one side and the boys' cabins on the other, you're going to try to fill in all sorts of blanks there. Oh, yeah, we know why you had to get across that river. I know. But the swimming hole was on the other side, too. The trick was getting across without getting your feet wet. Because you know how little boys want to keep their feet dry, right, boys? Don't get your feet wet in the creek. So you'd try. Get across. Happy memories of that little river help to illustrate the Lord taking us, crossing to the joy of Christ from anxiety to peace. It wasn't a happy time for the Apostle Paul. The verses before this text tell you that he's got a problem with relationships, and it's not his own relationships. He's in Rome under house arrest, probably the end of the book of Acts. He's imprisoned for proclaiming Christ. And far away, loved ones are not getting along. Remember, this is one of his favorite congregations, the Philippians. But there's a couple of women mentioned here. And if I give you the literal translation from the Greek, this is what he says. Euodia, I beg you. Syntyche, I beg you. Be of one mind. Somebody said something. Somebody looked the wrong way at somebody. Somebody had their feelings hurt. And he goes on to also say to his loyal yoke fellow, Syzygus, maybe that was his name, help these women. They've been contending for at my side for the sake of the gospel. Get the congregation back together. Cross over to the joy of Jesus once again from that anxiety to peace. They need to do that. They need to do that because the Lord's apostle Paul is calling them in the Lord's name, and then he says something that absolutely, from a distance, under these circumstances, how can he say this? Rejoice always. I will say it again, rejoice. Is that what Paul said? You paying attention? I left out three very important words. Let me read again. Rejoice always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Is that even possible? That's by leaving out the three words, it's like leaving the bolts out of the gussets in a bridge. It's like building the towers on the new bridge without the cables. You might just as well have the creek bed there with all the stepping stones taken out. What did I leave out? He says, rejoice in the Lord. And I will say it again, rejoice. Without in the Lord, it's people trying to just be happy. That's the goal of so many people in life, but there's something above the happiness that depends on the happenings of your life, something above that, which is the joy of Christ, where He wants us to cross over with Him and to Him. The happiness is only good when, well, the water of the river is still and calm and peaceful and the sun is bright and shining. Is that the St. Croix River all the time? Never choppy, never cold. Always sun shining. The joy of Christ is made for us in Christ, especially for the dark days. It's for the days when the rivers run high in flood stage and people are hurting and the wind is blowing. Then rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. That's when that makes sense. The Lord is showing us that He has a bridge across, and that bridge is Christ, and that bridge is the rock. No shifting sand there. He is Christ, our rock. And everything about crossing over from anxiety to peace is all solidly on the bedrock of the promises of God. Read about that bridge. Those tears needed to be just a few. That's why extra-dosed bridge was put in there. But they had to go down to bedrock. When you trust the promises of God, you are trusting on the bedrock of God's faithfulness, His care, His knowledge, His power, His blessing. Totally undeserved. Because we worry. We act like God doesn't have the power or the love or the care. He's not paying attention, but He is. The very hairs of your head are all numbered, He says. That's care infinite. That's knowledge infinite. And He has the infinite power to help and bless and turn our problems into blessings, because all things work together. And you know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Solid bedrock so that you can rejoice in the Lord. And then He says, do not worry about anything. The Lord is near. In the NIV it says, don't be anxious about anything. The Lord is near. In everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Anxiety, let's just focus on that and save worry for a minute here, but anxiety is that under the surface, just dark feeling that you can't necessarily explain and maybe wakes you up from dreams that you can't remember. One man described it, anxiety, as just that feeling that the other shoe is going to drop. And he said this was happening when good things were going on. That's scary. Because sometimes when your life is really happy, then you get scared. What's going to happen when... And then underneath there, it's kind of like trying to cross that creek. And if you get into the water, sometimes you'd be on slippery rocks where the moss is there and... You know, it's not just your feet that are wet at that point. So God, in building this bridge from anxiety to peace, we have to get wet first. Whenever they build a bridge, somebody's got to get wet to get started. And He takes us to the word-powered water of baptism, puts His name on us, and says, forever after here, you're mine. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you are mine, my responsibility to get you across. He shows us the way. He takes us across. And He says, don't be anxious about it. Lay this all out before God in these different ways of praying. The prayer, the request, the petitions, the thanksgiving, make it all known to God, and the peace of God, which doesn't just surpass human understanding, it's all understanding. The peace of God guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus so you don't do crazy things. You don't mess up your life because you have the wisdom to show restraint as you seek to serve God and your neighbor instead of serving self. It's all in gratitude and thanks because that rock is Christ, and Christ died for you, for me, for all. Now cross over to the joy of Jesus also from worry to trust. I'm distinguishing now with worry as more of the surface things. The thoughts that you can actually identify that will race through your mind about what might happen. And that can be really scary too. I think back to when the sun would go down at camp and then we had to get across that creek for, well, sometimes it was running from counselors. Later, you know, they made counselors out of some of us campers, and then, you know, it was kind of payback time for the pastors. But you had to get across that creek one way or another, and when the sun is going down, it's a little hard to tell whether that's a rock there or whether that darkness is actually a pool of water. How are you going to get across? The stepping stones are there, but what's solid? What can you trust? What can you put your full weight on? I can imagine that people who maybe survived the crash of that Minneapolis bridge or something like that would maybe be afraid to go across bridges for a while, especially when you heard how many other ones were in that same condition and needed to be replaced. It's scary if you think about it. So what are you going to do? Here the Lord takes hold of us, and he takes us then to the stepping stones. He says, now, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, there's your stepping stones. Follow those. Think about those things. The things you've learned or received or heard or saw in me, keep doing these things. You put them into practice. Look at the Lord's apostle Paul, and he says, the God of peace will be with you. That's like Jesus taking hold of your hand and saying, look, I know exactly where you need to put your feet. Do what I do. Whole lot easier to get across a darkened river that way, isn't it? Come with me. Foot here, now another. Peace, true, trustworthy, praiseworthy. Think about these things. You get across that valley of your own depression, crossing over to the joy of Jesus from the worry to the solid trust, because he's got your hand. And you know good and well there are times when Jesus will just pick you up and carry you across, because that's what it takes. In the arms of the Lord, he made you his own responsibility when he brought you into his kingdom. And that's why the Lord's apostle Paul, in crossing over from worry to trust, can now take us also from weakness to strength. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. That's always there. Now that you've revived your concern for me once again. So he's way off, imprisoned by the Romans. They didn't supply any food or clothing or anything like that to the prisoners. We think he was probably under house arrest, but that just means the Roman government made a house his prison. He's still chained. He talks about that. But he didn't get any food or clothing unless friends found him and gave it to him. So your friends had to find you. And so there was a lull in there for a while, but he gives them the benefit of the doubt. Here's grace showing through. You wanted to help but couldn't. But when you had a chance, as soon as the opportunity showed up, there they were again. Now, I just have to tell you as a preacher that this is one of those things that's hard for a preacher to talk about. Talking about crossing from anxiety to peace or from worry to trust, you know, that's easy. We all want to hear about that. But when we talk about pastoral support, it's so easy to be mistaken or just fall into that trap of self-serving. So I love the way the Holy Spirit does this. I think this skill is just awesome from a preacher's standpoint too, because preachers are tempted then not to talk about it. And that's a sin. God calls on us to preach the whole counsel of God. That's the whole word of God, the Bible, but in a way that glorifies God. And doesn't this glorify God? You were concerned, but you had no opportunity. I'm not saying this because I lack anything. See, he's content. That's the bright sunshine in his cold prison. And it's not from the Philippians, it's from God himself. But they're part of God's answer for him. So it's not that I lack anything. I've learned to be content in all circumstances. I know what it is to live in humble circumstances, what it is to have more than enough. I've learned the secret. He's like in the school of God's grace to learn the secret. It doesn't mean I'm perfected in this yet. He's still learning, but he learned the early lessons well. So that light of Christ is shining in his prison cell. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, anything, anytime, any place. You can be content whether full or hungry, whether having plenty or not enough. It all comes down to this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's contentment. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It says this in Hebrews. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. As we heard in Bible class today, all things are yours. No reason to be selfish, fearful, anxious about anything, because all things are God's. And he's your Father. He gives you everything. Give us this day our daily bread. And all that goes along with that. Safety, protection, peace, and the sure and certain trip home to heaven with the angels if the worst case scenario happens here. You trust that? You agree with Paul, I can do all things? Have you crossed over from weakness to strength? Give yourself a test this week. This week, who do you know that needs help? Somebody need help with cell phones, how to turn alarms off and things like that? Lots of people around there. Who needs help in whatever it is? And Jesus said, love your enemies, especially those who mistreat you. What is it that needs help? Who is it that needs help? And then look at what the Philippians were doing as they followed the Lord's Apostle Paul in support of the gospel. So look at your offerings as they did theirs. This is the counsel of God too. Are your offerings cheerfully given? Are they planned? Are they first fruits? Or are they leftovers? See, there's a real test. That's a great test for all of us. Can you say with the Lord's Apostle Paul, yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Come on over, Jesus says. There's joy here. Crossing to the joy of Christ. Amen.